Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on today's episode, we look back at the Jets' loss in Jersey, plus an updated look at where Mark Scheifele ranks amongst league-wide centers.
Hello, everybody. Recording live from somewhere.
What's good and welcome to another episode of Skates and Plates on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki. You can follow me on Twitter at Brandon_Rewicki or the podcast at Skates Plates Pod. All right, let's head into this one here. Good to be back with you guys on a bit unfortunate terms as we got to break down a loss for the Jets. A bit of a stinker against the Devils, Tyler Toffoli's return to New Jersey. So we'll break down what went wrong, i.e. a return to early season form on the special teams. But we'll break that one down, look at what's next on the sked for the Jets, and then, like we said there, a little bit of position talk, which is always fun. Especially now that we're, 10, 11, 12 games to go with the regular season. So we got all that to get into you guys with, so it should be a good episode. And doing so with me once again is CJ Opie's Tyson Rewicki. Tyson, day one of the madness. How are we doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. Brackets busted, but
yeah,
it always is. It always is day one.
I believed Morehead State could go all the way.
I had more at State too.
I also was the genius that took McNeese State to go to the Elite Eight. They proceeded to, I think they lost by like 200 points to Gonzaga. I don't know.
I didn't even know that was a school.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it sure is. hopefully you guys are enjoying, the madness, make a couple of bucks along the way and get March wound down in the right way and kick off April in style. But no basketball talk because neither of us know what we're talking about, to be honest. So let's talk some puck. Bit of a rough one for the Jets in New Jersey. The shot clock didn't look great. The scoreboard didn't look great. Laurent Bersois was probably the only thing that looked great. And Nikolaj Ehlers for about a 5-second spurt. Other than that, though, it was a pretty subpar effort, to be kind. And I think Kevin Sawyer actually said it best post-game that it was just flat all around for the Jets in this one. With Rick Bowness not behind the bench. I mean, what the... So just like a one-off sort of a deal where it just didn't work out for the Jets. It kind of reminded me a little bit about how the Jets in years past, not so much the last, like this year and last year, but how they would always struggle against like the Montreals of the world. These small, speedy teams that would just look to hit you on the rush and transition. It kind of reminded me a little bit of that. The Jets have been pretty good at mitigating that over the past few years, but the Devils came to skate. There was no doubt about that. And they were ready to go. And Winnipeg did not hold up their end of the bargain in this one.
No, they didn't. And it was, I mean, you don't want to say you expect a game like that, but like you can kind of see the writing on the wall, especially with if you looked at the odds pregame, there was a little bit of a iffy line in that one. But like after a big game against the Rangers there, coming out of MSG, then you're going to Jersey. You're not traveling much, so you're just kind of staying neutral, like central. It kind of just reeked of a letdown game, you know, and that's what it was. I thought that the first period was pretty low event. Like, there wasn't too much going on there. And then it just seemed like once the power play started to trickle in for the Devils, the Jets just couldn't find their groove after that. And they took a decent amount of penalties. Not all of them were warranted, but you know, like that. This is how they lost games earlier in the season, was because of their special teams, and the power play wasn't great. There was a lot of indecisiveness, or almost more too decisive to not shoot the puck. Especially on that last power play, I really thought that, you know, like, they were really locking down the interior of the O-zone there. Like, let's start throwing pucks towards the net and get some scrambles. But it's tough. Like, I'm not too worried about it, just because you did see that this team can elevate their play and play at an extremely high level against a really good hockey team and pull out a win. And actually, I just wanted to say that Rangers game reminded me almost exactly like the Rangers game from last year, towards, I think it was end of February, early March, where it was the same sort of thing. Scheifele scores two goals. Hellebuck has a really good game and probably solidifies his case as Vezina, realistically, in that game. But you know what, like, the Devils have a good roster with good players, and some games when they're clicking, like they started to click halfway through the second, sometimes there's not much you can do, and they got some bounces. But you know, if they expect a strong effort to come back on Saturday though from the Jets and just build off, kind of put this game in the rearview mirror and move forward.
Yeah, that's the thing too, like, they played so good for about, I didn't like the way the Jets played in the last 10 minutes against the Rangers, because they were just kind of sitting back, it felt like, and basically like, oh, well, Hellebuck will hold down the fort, which he will most nights, but maybe best not to tempt it. But they played so good against the Rangers that I think this loss against the Devils, you know, you just don't feel that bad about it, because it's like, hey, went into MSG and pick up 2 points in regulation. Maybe the boys deserve an off night. Maybe, I don't know, maybe they got Hamilton. And then went out for a couple of bubblies after. Like, I don't know. So sometimes these things happen on road trips, right? Whatever the reason, I mean, there just weren't too many guys that were moving at full speed in this one, right? I mean, like, Scheifele has the turnover that leads to a breakaway attempt. He makes a great back check to get back. Morrissey, a brutal pass, leads to a breakaway. Like, it was just uncharacteristic all around from the team. So, I don't think it's one, at least 5-on-5 that you look at and break down and go, oh my gosh, the Jets are going to flame out in round one of the playoffs, because they took it to the Rangers one night earlier. It's more so with where the team is at right now, with 13 games to go. It just sucks because that top spot in the division is tough. And right now they're tied with Colorado, even on games, even on points. Dallas, even on points as well, I should say, but one more game played there. So it feels like anytime you lose a game, if you're Winnipeg, it feels like a 4-point loss, because you know Colorado's going to find a way to win a game. So that part of it sucked. The one thing though that we do need to touch on is that penalty kill, because you know, sure, the Jets didn't deserve to win the game 5-on-5, but it ultimately decided the game. 3 power play goals for the New Jersey Devils in this one. Let me just pull up quickly where the PK is at. It's funny though, and you mentioned it, Tice. It was like an early season game, although we don't have to worry about the power play seemingly anymore. And even looking at the stats for that, it doesn't matter because it's just a completely different unit. But the penalty kill, 24th at 76%. That looked like a 24th ranked penalty kill. Yes, the Devils are loaded with high end talent, and they've got a good power play. But there needs to be, now that the power play has kind of sorted itself out, there needs to be a concerted effort to get the PK back on track and do that suit. That is goal number one moving forward here. You can survive in the playoffs. You can win a cup with a bad power play. It's been, I mean, teams have done it before with really bad power plays. You will be out immediately if your penalty kill stinks. Outside, I think Vegas didn't last year. But that's the outlier. If your PK stinks 99 times out of 100, you're heading home early. And I do not like whatsoever how passive this Jets penalty kill gets, where it's just, let's sit back. We've got great goaltenders. we trust them to make the save. Teams throw the puck around. We'll figure things out as it comes along here. It's just not going to work. And especially when, like, you might be able to do that against Arizona, Chicago, San Jose, etc. If you got Colorado or Dallas in round one, like, you want to let McKinnon and Makar whip it around? All right, we'll see you in five games. Like, there needs to be a hell of a lot more aggressiveness on the penalty kill. Let's try to turn it into more of a power kill than the passive kill. Get killed. That's what it is right now for the Jets. The penalty killed. Because they're just letting teams do whatever they want, it feels like. And the goals that were scored by the Devils, it's just too easy, right? It's not even one cross-ice one-timers barring in. Oh, you know, their high-end skill gets it done. We can live with that. It's goals that are just so preventable that drive you nuts.
Well, and it's the same old – this has been a problem for years now with the team, and they just struggle net front. They really do. Like, they it's – and at this point, you have to just realize that this is what – they're not good at that in that area. And you mentioned the passiveness of the of this penalty kill units, and I agree with you 100%, but at some times you can see that the high guy is – he's playing aggressive. Like, there was times, especially – on that penalty kill in the third period, I forget which one it was, but there's one guy being aggressive out there on the ice, and then the other guys are all kind of hanging back and waiting for a puck to get through if it does. And you can't just rely on the first guy to be aggressive and get the puck there. You need to have support. You need to have guys who are also following up on when those pucks end up getting loose, because there's too many times where, whether it was Broad or Hughes, either of the Hughes brothers, they get the puck in the corner of the blue line, and one guy would kind of be pressuring them, and then the puck ends up going cross ice to Brad. And then all of a sudden, so much more ice opens up. It's just, it's a very flawed unit right now. And you can look at some other teams that are in the top of the league in penalty kill, and they all have the same thing. They're a unit, and they work as a unit aggressively. It's not just, let's hang back. You can't give up the blue line to the Reinette line with no one there. And there was times where Luke Hughes had no one on him in front of them in the middle of the ice. It's for a top power play unit. They don't even have to be a top power play unit, but for a power play unit that's cooking, it's too easy. It's just way too easy. And changes need to be made soon. Like, you're getting close to playoff time. And like you mentioned, if your penalty kill is not going in the playoffs, you're probably not going to have a long playoff run.
You know what I don't understand? Why any team with a bottom half of the league penalty kill doesn't just grab a VHS, plug it in, say, here are the Carolina Hurricanes penalty kills for the last 3 to 4 years. We're copying them play for play. You know what I mean? Like, the Hurricanes are, and it's 1,000% off their coach, Rod Brind'Amour, who was a demon back in his day. But, like, why? Well, what's stopping this team from doing that? The Flyers kill penalties a very similar way to the Hurricanes. The Jets have twice the talent the Flyers do. It's not a matter of do we have the guys that can get it done. It's just it has to be a strategic overhaul. It has to be a systemic overhaul, and it has to be a mindset overhaul. That, you know, we're not going out there to try to limit the dangerous chances. We're going out there to take the puck away from you, and we're going to try to do some damage the other way. It feels like for so long now, Winnipeg has viewed the penalty kill as, you know, almost like a prevent defense, right? Like, we're just going to sag back, and we'll absorb, and the Vezina Trophy winner and his league best backup goalie are going to figure things out. It doesn't work like that anymore, right? Like, teams are just too... Teams all across the league are too good, and they're going to find ways to punish you. And I think you also nailed it on the head there, Tice, with the fact that net front, the Jets don't win a whole lot of battles. They don't clear guys out of the front of the net. They don't tie anybody up. I mean, the last two goals for the Devils on the power play, they're nothing plays, right? Like, Hughes, I think both times just kind of whips it towards the net, and it's these wimpy little deflections that beat you. And you're not pressuring the puck carrier. Okay, well, if you want to go that route, then take care of the guys in front of the net and win there. But they don't do that either. And that's what makes it tough to watch sometimes, because I think they've got the guys to get it done. It's just, for whatever reason, I think it's a mindset or a coaching thing where they're telling them this is how we want to play and attack, obviously isn't the right word, but this is how we want to defend it, and that's what we're looking for here. And it's pretty worrisome. Like, it's not going to kill them in the regular season, but yeah, you're right. Colorado, Dallas, God forbid Vegas in round one as a wild card team, right? Like, you're going up against good power plays early in the postseason here. And that, I just don't think prevent penalty kill is going to get it done.
No, it's not. And that's, you're right. That's the worrying thing, is that this has been an issue all season. So it's, you know, it's like bear down time. We really need to figure out what's going on here. Like, you can't just not try and fix it, right? You can't just say, like, well, we have the best goalie in the league. We can kind of rely on him to kill off a couple penalties on his own, and then we'll get some bounces our way. And, like, no, it's not going to work. Especially when teams are dialed in playoff time. Like, there's going to be a lot of chances that you can lose games that way. And so something needs to be done ASAP. And they don't sort it out. Like, that's going to be... That's where you look back at this game and later or earlier on in the season, and you're just like, man, if we could have just fixed this one issue. And like you said too, it's not, you can't bring someone in to kind of strengthen it necessarily. You can add guys who have been good penalty killers, but if your system is the system, it's going to hamper the ways guys penalty kill. And I think that the Jets have the skill that they can emulate a Carolina or Philly penalty kill and generate chances on the kill. Obviously, that's not the forefront issue there. It's preventing goals, but I think that they could easily turn some of that aggression into offense shorthanded. So I'm interested to see what changes they make, how they change things, but something needs to be done.
Well, we'll get our first look at what changes, if any, are made when the Jets get back into action on the weekend. As Flyers fans, we need the Jets to get it figured out. Pick up a pair of big wins. Capitals, Islanders, back-to-back for the Jets on the weekend. You win. Winnipeg wins, everybody wins, right? So let's find a way to get it done and get the PK back on track. Yeah, I think we've had enough of talking about that Devils game. It wasn't a fun watch. It wasn't a good way to get into the weekend here. But I think we might be able to do a vibe check, flip this one around, and get everybody feeling good about themselves again here in the PEG, okay? Because this kind of popped up on my feed. When did it come out? I guess about 2 days ago? Oh, I didn't think it was that long ago. But it was a look in an article by The Athletic about number one center tiers in the NHL. And maybe it was buoyed by the fact that Mark Scheifele went full-on engage beast mode against the New York Rangers. To almost cap off what's been a quietly excellent season for 55. So I thought it was interesting to see what both The Athletic said and then maybe what people think, what me and Tyson think, because we were pretty hard on Scheifele in the center rankings going into the season. And there's no doubt about it that he's going to be moving up, but just how high up is he going to move? Well, The Athletic didn't do it, you know, in a 1 through 20 sort of a sense in terms of ranking. They had it kind of in different categories. So you have the best of the best, which is McKinnon, Matthews, McDavid. Cup guys, centers that have won cups with their team as the number one dude. Crosby, Eichel, Braden Point. The spotlight awaits. A little bit younger on the scale, but the Barkovs, Ahos, Pettersons of the world, and then the bubble guys. And this is their quote here: on a fringe team, they're probably a 1C. On a championship team, they're probably a 2C. This is where Mark Scheifele finds himself, alongside Bo Horvat, Dylan Larkin, and Mika Zibanejad. I think that's a little harsh.
Yeah, that's wild.
Especially because I know Scheifele regular season wise has been up and down these past few years, but one, he's taking a big step this year. Two, his playoff numbers are outstanding. Like, he's been really good when the chips are down. Now, again, this is just they're kind of doing tiers, so it's not a legitimate rankings here. But where do you think Mark Scheifele, with the season that he's had, Tyson, ranks league-wide today? As in, you're headed into game one of the postseason. You could essentially draft your number one center. How many guys are you taking ahead of Mark Scheifele right now?
This season? Without mapping it out too much, I'm going to put him seven.
Seven?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I honestly don't think we give Scheifele enough credit this year. I really don't. I think he's been absolutely outstanding all year. And he's just driven the offense, in my opinion. Like, he's the guy. Like, he is the guy this year. And I know that the Athletic did that because, like, cup winners and stuff. But right now, I don't know. Like, would you take Jack Eichel over Scheifele right now? I don't think I would.
Oh, what I was going to ask you, Eichel, I think I would take Eichel. But it is close. Like, last year would have been, going into this year, it would have been no debate Eichel all day. It is close. I might still lean towards Eichel, though. But I totally agree with you in the sense that Scheifele has been underrated this season. He's been excellent pretty much from start to finish. And the biggest thing is obviously just defensively. He's way more engaged, way more into it, way more effort. And he does so with one of the worst defensive wingers stapled to him every single game in Kyle Connor, too. Like, I wonder how much that plays a bit of a drag on his defensive numbers as well. Seven, though, that's pretty high, Tice. There's some damn good centermen in the NHL right now. I know you're kind of throwing it off the top of your head, but here, somebody in the comments section here thankfully put this into a nice, easy basket for us to look at here. So, I mean, the top three, McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews, obviously no real argument there. I think Crosby probably still.
Yeah.
He's had a pretty damn good year. Braden Point.
I put Pettersson above Scheifele.
Pettersson, I was going to say. Braden Point with how he elevates in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'd go Point over Scheifele. Eichel, I would still go Eichel. Barkov, I'd probably go Barkov. I mean, he's just elite at everything. The one that was interesting to me, Tyson, again, right now, this season, would you take Mark Scheifele or Jack Hughes? Just for this play, I might go Scheife too, even though Hughes had a monster game against the Jets. And he's crazy talented. That's kind of where I wonder, like, with some of the guys we mentioned there, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Pettersson makes it 8. What about Aho?
Scheifele.
Really?
I don't want to get too ahead of myself, but you kind of get this feeling that, and I'm not comparing the players necessarily, more so like the arc and the storyline, but I kind of get a feeling that this could be like Scheifele's Steve Yzerman first cup run. Because, like, looking back at it now, Yzerman's seen as one of the greatest captains of all time, and obviously he is. But at the beginning of his career, he struggled, like, come playoff time, too. It wasn't all, like, roses for the Red Wings. Like, he needed to get the couple runs under his belt before finally getting that gold. And I honestly think that Scheifele could be in that mold right now. He's obviously not Steve Yzerman, but, man, I think that the way that Scheifele's played, and you mentioned Point, too, and I would argue that Point, I'm not going to say he's a byproduct of Kucherov, but he benefits greatly from playing with Kucherov. I don't know, this year especially, I don't know how much Scheifele benefits from playing with Kyle Connor. Kyle Connor benefits a lot from playing with Scheifele, but is it the other way around, or has Scheifele kind of just been the dog this year? Like, he's
it's 1,000% Scheifele.
Right, yeah, is he just kind of elevating his line mates above what they're playing this year? I think he is. And I've been so impressed with Scheifele, especially because, like you mentioned, like we've been really hard on him, and we were both in the boat of, hey, if a good trade comes along, I'm flying him, driving him out to the airport if we had one. But like, this is, I really do just like the feeling that I'm getting from Mark Scheifele this year going into the playoffs.
I won't get into my Yzerman thing. I think the whole Steve Yzerman had to sacrifice his points to win a cup is the dumbest argument of all time.
No, I don't think he had to sacrifice to get his cup, but it was just, you know, like you think of Yzerman, you think that he just kind of won throughout his whole career. You know what I mean?
Oh, no. Yeah. But the problem, people say he had to learn how to lose and da 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 da. He was always lighting that up in the playoffs. You know what helped propel him to victory? It wasn't leadership. It was having Sergei freaking Fedorov and Nick freaking Lidstrom beside him. And all of a sudden, the cups start pouring. Like, it wasn't this magic elixir that Yzerman is like, oh my gosh, I know how to lead now. It's like, oh yeah, baby, I've got the most loaded team of all time.
Totally,
and it's
yeah.
time to win three cups in 5 years or whatever it ended up being for Detroit. So, but regardless of that, I think going into the year, we probably would have had Scheifele in like the high teens. But now it's kind of an interesting debate to talk about where he fits in and around the top 10. There's a lot of centers having good years, though. That's the interesting. I mean, like, you kind of scoffed at Aho, like taking Scheifele over Aho, but Aho is outscoring Scheifele by a pretty significant margin this season. And is his usual stellar defensive self. Hughes has just been injured half the year, it feels like. So he hasn't totally taken that next step into superstardom just yet. What about if the Jets went up against Dallas in round one? Scheifele or Hintz? You going Scheifele?
Yeah, Scheifele. I like Hintz. The one thing that worries me though is that he can be a band-aid. Like he really like I you just don't I don't know if he can make it through a whole playoff run. I'm going with Scheifele.
I go Scheifele too, but I'm a pretty big Roope Hintz fan.
Oh, he's awesome.
I think it's interesting that there's, you know, if you want to look at it in tiers almost, there's like the second tier behind McKinnon, McDavid, Matthews. And then there's like a third tier, obviously below tier two. I think Scheifele's tier two as opposed to tier three now.
When you mentioned those names that he was in there with, I kind of was like, I think he's quite a bit better than some of the guys mentioned.
Yeah, like tier, he would be the best in tier three. You know, he wouldn't be leading tier two, but I think he belongs with those guys, right?
Yeah.
You know, obviously you would take, Pedersen and Crosby and Barkov ahead of Scheifele, but when you get a little bit further down there, like he's 8, 9, 10, he's battling it. He's finding a way. So that's great, right? Like you've got Scheifele playing like a legitimate top 10 center, Morrissey in the Norris running, and then Connor Hellebuck, front runner for the Vezina. There's high-end talent there right now for the Jets at the most important positions, performing arguably at the peak of their powers right now. So I think it just lends a lot of optimism for this to potentially be a pretty memorable spring run for the Winnipeg Jets, as long as their big dogs keep performing like they have through 70 games so far this season.
I just want to mention one thing though to that is that only 15 of Scheifele's 62 points, I guess it's 63 now after today, but only 15 of Scheifele's 63 points have come on the power play. And I think some of those other guys are going to have, and now you could say that he's the quarterback on the power play technically, so it's twofold, but it just goes to show you that it's not just a inflated scoring for Scheifele. Like he's earning those points.
Yeah, Mark Scheifele has certainly earned what he's done so far this season for the Winnipeg Jets, and the club has earned, finding themselves in a three-way tie atop the Central Division standings with 13 games to go. And we'll break it all down for you guys, including two more for the Jets when we get back at it next week following the weekend's worth of action for the club. But that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Skates and Plates here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm your host, Brandon Rewicki, with CJOB's Tyson Rewicki once again. We'll be back at it on Tuesday morning, breaking down a pair of games out there on the road for the Jets as that road trip continues into Long Island against the Islanders and then the Caps on Sunday before the club takes on the Edmonton Oilers Tuesday night, followed by Vegas. Next week is measuring stick week.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully the Jets pick up back-to-back points here on the weekend, and then we can talk about another win streak getting going for the club there. However it goes, though, we'll break it all down for you guys on Tuesday morning. Until then, though, enjoy the rest of your week. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. Have fun. We'll talk to you guys on Tuesday morning. Peace.